Unity partly cloudy overnight with a low of 51. Wrapping up the weekend, Sunday, we'll have sunshine and a high of 74. Expect patchy fog Sunday night. Otherwise, Unity partly cloudy, a low around 50. Monday morning, we'll begin the week with patchy fog well into the day. Otherwise, Unity mostly sunny with a high of 73. We'll have patchy fog Monday night. Otherwise, Unity partly cloudy, a low around 50. Tuesday morning, we'll have patchy fog with a mostly sunny day. Our high should be 72. That's your forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
This is the KCAA Community Calendar. The campus of Cal State San Bernardino and numerous town hall viewing sites across the nation are pleased to host the LEAD Summit, Thursday, March 27th, for the fifth annual observance of Latino Education and Advocacy Days, sharing a common interest and commitment to educational issues that impact Latinos. That's Thursday, March 27th, for the Latino Education and Advocacy Day Summit on the campus of Cal State San Bernardino. For more information, please visit leadsummit.csusb.edu. And that's your KCAA Community Calendar.
Welcome to Isla Earth. For many who are environmentally minded, the mere mention of DDT sets them on edge. After all, it disrupted ecosystems around the globe, crashing bird populations and nearly eliminating our national symbol, the bald eagle, from wild places including California's Channel Islands. Yet, like so many environmental issues, there is another side. According to USAID, there are 1.2 million mosquito-related malaria deaths each year. And for countries struggling to manage diseases like malaria, DDT can be an inexpensive and efficient insecticide that, when combined with other mosquito-eliminating measures, can save lives. The World Health Organization recommends that in countries like Africa, where malaria is taking a great human toll, DDT should be applied to the inside walls of homes once a year. It not only kills mosquitoes when they come in contact with it, but they are also repelled. This recommendation is a very different scenario than what happened in the 1940s. In those days, DDT was sprayed by crop dusters over thousands of acres and waterways. But with proper training for users and careful application, residue in the environment could be minimized while saving human lives, one household at a time. Learn more at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy with support from its Fund for a Sustainable Planet, because Earth is an island.
Are you sick of the stock market? Do you wonder when this market turmoil is going to end as it heads up 300 points one day and down 300 the next? Are you analyzing other investment opportunities? Don't just head into this unknown territory blindly. Jim and Lorraine Conaway, hosts of Smart Money Talk Radio, will take you through their step-by-step systematic approach to analyzing investment opportunities and potentially help you discover what choices may be appropriate for your situation. Call 888-266-2929 now to schedule your complimentary consultation, and you will also receive your complimentary investment evaluator CD. That's 888-266-2929. This is a Smart Money tip brought to you by Smart Money Talk Radio, hosted by Jim and Lorraine Conaway on KCAA 1050 every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Securities offered through J.P. Turner & Company, LLC, member SIPC. Investment advice and financial planning offered through J.P. Turner & Company Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. J.P. Turner & Company, LLC, and J.P. Turner & Company Capital Management, LLC, are not affiliated with Conaway & Conaway, Inc.
Hi, this is Bob with Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. Tune in every Thursday afternoon from 3 until 4 at KCAA Radio 1050, and we will be there to answer your real estate questions, the latest real estate news, and to talk to the leaders of the real estate industry. Our Real Estate Talk, you can find out how to stop your foreclosure, first-time homebuyer information, loan modifications, different kinds of loans you can buy with, short sale strategies, and real estate investing and more. So don't forget, tune in every Thursday afternoon at 3 for Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. You'll be glad you did.
Your voice, your opinions, heard round the world at www.kcaaradio.com. The station that leaves no listener behind, AM 1050, KCAA.
Welcome one, welcome all. Constitution Radio, Douglas V. Gibbs, KCAA, AM 1050. Your weekend dose of truth. I am Douglas V. Gibbs. Joe, how was your week?
Great. I just hit the big 4-0.
You just hit the big 4-0?
Yep.
Yeah, you look it. You look every
thank
day.
You, thank
it.
You.
Yeah. Now hitting 40 doesn't bother you? You don't feel like you're getting older? Or
did oh, I hate it. I hate every second of it.
Because, you know, 40 didn't bother me. 30 bothered me.
Really?
But not because I was 30, but because I was no longer in my 20s.
30 I was fine with because I wasn't 40.
Oh, well, Joe is the engineer, and we got the proper Joe this week. We had the improper Joe last week, right? Is that
how it went down?
Have Alex Ferguson with me in the studio as well. How you doing, Alex?
Howdy.
Howdy. Yeah, well, you asked me about something. I want to do it up front and at the end. Alex has been putting a lot of work into his website, and I really want everybody to pay it a visit, and it's a work in progress. He's putting a lot of effort into it. He was telling us earlier how what he's got on a site, he's wanting to tag them so that he can have an index so it's easier to navigate through all of the information he has on this site. And what it is, it's a combination of pretty much all the letters to editors he's been writing over the years. And some of them are real doozies. And, you know, they span just about any topic that you can even think of. Conservativecanonade.org, was it?
That's
right. Yeah, .org, yeah, because I remember that because every time I go .com, I, you know, start pulling my hair out why it won't come up. Conservative Canonade. Why cannonade?
Cannonade, actually, in the dictionary, it's a fusillade of artillery, but in the dictionary it says it can refer to an attack by a writer.
Go ahead and bring the mic a little.
Bring the mic a little closer.
Well, raise it up because you know you're like kneeling to get to it. Right there on the far right. There you go. Yeah. Poor Alex. He's over here talking. You know, and he's like kneeling down where the. It was like trying to watch. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, take the mic after Michael J. Fox. You know, it was just. It wasn't a good thing.
You know, that's one of my jokes. I only made up a few jokes, and one of them is. They're always talking about I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. You know what a 10-foot pole is? Kareem Abdul-Jablonski. Okay.
A 10-foot pole. You got to think about that for a second. Okay.
So the website has it's got about 140 items on it right now. It will be about 160.
My apologies, by the way, to all the tall Polish people out there.
And that includes poetry.
Two, three?
Various and sundry. Well, what it is it's like popcorn. If I can get you to eat or to read just maybe six of them, then you got to finish the whole bag.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing is, once you get the tags in there and you get your index going, all that, it's going to be even more fun to go through there. But you're starting to get some hits and all that. We'll start putting some of those on politicalpistachio.com every once in a while. Yeah, but it's been a good week. As a radio show, and I'm not going to go into all the details because nothing is in place just yet, but just had a trucking company let me know that they are going to start putting ads for the show on the back of their trucks, all 30 of them. So that means there's going to be 30 rolling billboards rolling around Southern California for this show. We also got a couple of folks that are interested in joining the family as advertisers and so to speak, and that's always necessary for you listeners. You know, it's a constant battle. The show has grown immensely in 2.5 years, listenership wise. Sometimes the advertising part and all that's a little more difficult, but also my book has actually been doing fairly well. Where I was at a book signing last Tuesday and sold quite a few at Sons of Liberty, L Works, there in Norco, right off of Hamner and Town and Country. That was fun.
So while you're walking a little taller today?
I'm all the way
heads up a little higher.
Yeah, I'm all the way up to 5'9 and 5'9 and 9/10. I'm normally 5'9 and 3/4.
I know something different today.
A couple of my vertebrae decided to straighten out and. But anyway, okay, and enough of that. We've got an in-studio guest today, and he's been on the show with us once before, and a lot of fun. Matter of fact, last time Mr. Mobley was on the air with us, we had, three callers, which was a lot of fun. So you guys are always urged to call in, 888-909-1050, 888-909-1050. But also to listen, because few people can wade through the waters that I wade through when it comes to the understanding of the United States Constitution. And Mr. Mobley not only wades in those waters with me, he splashes it all over me with kicking it around because he knows quite a bit. But also, the purpose of what he does is he's recognized, as a lot of you listeners have, that as a nation, we're in a bad way right now. And to get it turned around, it's going to take a lot of activity, some very strong activity from you, the informed Americans, but also it's going to take knowledge, understanding, and the willingness to do it. And a lot of it's interesting. At my group meeting, the Constitution Association, I tell people all the time, and in my class, sitting on the couch complaining, being apathetic, or sitting on the couch complaining is not a strategy. We got to get out there. We got to do. And I had one email regarding Mr. Mobley's last visit on my show. Says, you had an interesting guest, but I don't like him because he supports convention. For some reason, there's a myth going around. I actually address that myth in my book, that convention is a very dangerous thing. And I suppose the argument could have a little bit of merit to it that, I suppose that if you get the wrong people in there and they're strong enough willed and strong enough minded, there could be a runaway convention and so on and so forth. But you don't do something that's a tool that's necessary because you don't not do it, should I say, because there's a possibility that, the bad guys might try to infiltrate it. If you've got a tool, you've got to use it. I don't decide not to use a hammer because I might hit my thumb. I still need to use a hammer. And if I hit my thumb, so be it, but still got to use it. It's still a tool that's necessary to use. You can't shy away from something because you might hit your thumb. Now, that said, G.R. Mobley, welcome to the program. Last week we talked about your first book, We the People, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway? We're going to talk about a second one. Before we get started, let's set up let's remind people. Last week, the first book, really what was the first book about, and kind of remind everybody, get people up to speed that may not have been here the last time you were on the show.
Well, before I even get started on describing my first book, congratulations on your first
book.
Oh,
well, thank you. It's kind of surreal because when it first came in the mail and I looked at it, well, that's a good-looking book, but whose name is that on it?
So one of the things I didn't tell you, but did you happen to think about your porch date? So when I was talking to other authors and they knew that I was going to be receiving my books, they said, make sure you capture your porch date because it's the first time you received that book in print when it's delivered. And so you can open it up and you actually see your end product, kind of like your baby. Did you take pictures?
I didn't take pictures, but I did take note. No, did I take pictures? I don't have time usually to go to the bathroom, much less stop and take a picture of something.
Well, you're living on your Facebook page. Anyway. Anyway. So last time.
All right. G.R. Mobley, it's nice of you to visit us. So we're going to move on now. Go ahead.
So anyway, last time I summed up the first book is The Irrefutable Argument for Convening a Convention. It's interesting how you talk about people looking at the convention as such an evil, insidious type of act. And I can recall in the 70s, I think it was in 1976, there was a convention of very intelligent people that actually rewrote our government. You know what the problem was?
Tell us.
They had no authority in doing so, and it failed to get ratified. So the government that they created was basically irrelevant. The fact of the matter is a convention in a republic form will always be relevant as long as there's relevance from the republic.
Right.
And so the types of conventions that one can have is a constitutional convention, as you know, when you're writing and rewriting an actual form of government and the boundaries and so forth.
Or as people like to call it, a con-con, and that's what a lot of people are afraid of. That's what they think we're talking about.
And then there's the Article 5 convention, which is, to me, is a really arduous process because you have to get 75% of the states to basically coalesce on an amendment before they can send it to Congress and or to both houses for their two-thirds two-thirds approval.
Well, no. See, let's back up. Article 5 convention actually has two-thirds of the states proposed the amendments, and they sent it to the states. Federal government's totally cut out of it. Now, the federal government's only involved in one where they propose the amendment. Then it takes two-thirds of Congress. But in the case of an Article 5, the states send delegates, and each state has one vote each, to propose amendments. Then those amendments go back out to the states, but now they need three-quarters of the states to ratify it, to approve it.
Correct.
Now, the thing is,
but
the federal
– arduous process.
It is an arduous process. Not only that, but the federal government does have one involvement, and that is calling the convention. And you know as well as I do, the federal government never will. So that brings up this third option.
So the third option is where basically the republic recognizes that you have a runaway federal government or general government. And if you read Federalist Paper number 49, Madison talks about compelling the republic to basically coalesce or pull together to basically stop runaway of one particular branch or maybe all three branches, using the convention as a tool of oversight. Anyway, the third convention that I'm applying is a republic review type of convention where you're doing an audit over the contract that the states have agreed upon to basically empower and enable the general government with very specific powers and delineated what we call enumerated powers. And so if they're going beyond those, it's up to the holders of the contract, the stakeholders being the states, to basically step in and say, you've stepped beyond these powers. You don't have these. We've not enumerated those. However, we may like those and recommend you put in an amendment so that we can review that for ratification. But until then, you cannot have that power and you cannot fund that role, responsibility, or power.
Comments, questions, or challenges? Comments, questions, or challenges? 888-909-1050. 888-909-1050. Our guest is G.R. Mobley, author of a few books, but the first one being We the People, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway? Now, I'm going to assume, because we've kind of talked about this, really the three books are three parts of the same thing.
That's correct.
And so really, this question goes to all of them. Why did you write the first book? Why did you write the second book? Why did you write the third book? What's the purpose behind them?
So the purpose behind the first book was to create the dialogue that was necessary so that people could understand that we basically – not basically. We have a general government that is acting or has powers, roles, and responsibilities that are unconstitutional. As Madison stated, if you want to have a Department of Transportation, you have to – and I'm paraphrasing – but you have to amend the Constitution to create a Department of Transportation. Well, if you have to have an amendment to create a Department of Transportation, you have to have an amendment to create the Department of Energy, to create all these other departments that are not enumerated.
Department of Education and so forth.
Correct. And so – the first book was designed to basically create the argument and provide the information of, one, our origins of liberty, and secondly, the process of how our framers innovated this nation unlike any other nation. And the third section of the first book is also discussing how we basically obfuscated, or how through some noble people and some nefarious people, we've basically derailed our constitutional republic. And the fourth is basically putting out – or the fourth section, because these are in sections. In the first book, I have four. And the fourth and final is the conclusion of the argument that we have to convene a convention to correct this contract as the overseers, of this contract.
Are you following all this, Alex?
To the best that I am able, yes.
Yeah, because I know – and then that kind of goes with something else that he and I have talked about.
You lost me at convention.
No. Actually, we lost you at Welcome to the Radio Show. But anyway, one of the things that I observed about these books is there is a certain level of complexity. But because of the topic, it's really kind of necessary. So you've got to kind of wade through it. But to get into the simplest form here – we be all messed up and we need to fix it. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, I understood that.
No, basically what we're getting down to, when you break through all the complexity, is that our system was designed to work in a specific manner. And from day one, there have been forces outside of that style of government trying to usurp it, change it, get it to run in ways it's not supposed to. And these people tend to be a ruling elite, a controlling type of mentality. And so the idea here is, okay, so how do we get it turned around? Now, there's all kinds of ways. We have a lot of different tools. But it seems that the tool that's going to be the most effective is for us to go through the states being the ones who created this federal government in the first place, or as GR likes to say, the parents. Now, that what that requires is convention, them to get together, have a convention. This is how we're going to get this Leviathan under control. We have the authority. We have to get them all on the same page. And that's the tough part. That's where these books come in. It really explains the concept and how to get there. And the second book is really about convening a convention. And we're going to get into more detail on that right after this break. Don't go anywhere.
KCAA.
What's your constitutional IQ? Your quest to learn the Constitution can be fun for the whole family. Learn about the Constitution as you play the Constitution Quest board game. Learn more at ConstitutionQuest.com.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Tired of the lies? Come here for the truth. Douglas V. Gibbs on KCAA 1050 AM.
Ready to begin that project? FST Sand and Gravel is family-owned and managed and has been serving Southern California since 1964. We provide a variety of aggregate and sand materials direct from the manufacturer. Prices and quantities are available for the large contractor all the way down to the private homeowner. No job is too big or too small. So visit us at fstsand.com. That's fstsand.com.
The most diversified radio station on the dial, AM 1050, KCAA.
Okay, welcome back. Constitution Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs, 888-909-1050. I would really like to hear from you. What do you think about what we're talking about, 888-909-1050? Also, I wanted to bring up something else. We had talked about on this program just recently, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, about how there was a professor at Texas A&M who went on to be quoted as that as liberals, as the liberal left, they need to have an Article 5 convention to get rid of, to rewrite the Constitution so they can get rid of the Second Amendment. And I explained to you listeners the reason why this liberal came out and said this was not because the liberals really care about having a convention. They don't. They do just fine ignoring the Constitution and using the courts. The reason for that kind of rhetoric is to scare you and basically through fear take away your tool of convention. Now, that said, also it explained how little the left understands convention. The government is not involved. This is not a federal convention. This is something that's done through the states, through the people. And it's good news. This is good news. I'm glad to have Mobley on the program because it's good news, especially after last week's result, which Alex kind of commented. I'm kind of depressed after that because, the guest was talking about how what the federal government's doing with the veterans and so on and so forth. And, yeah, you kind of left kind of bummed a little bit after the last show, didn't you, Alex?
This Obama administration is not a happy time for people that believe in freedom, liberty, America.
Well, see, and that's why I like having Mr. Mobley with us, because it's good news. He's saying, whoa, wait a second, guys. It's not too late. We've got something at our disposal if we are just willing to use it.
If I can get you to think of one thing, how did the initial states, the colonies, create the first Continental Congress so quickly?
Word of mouth through, you know, well, the delegates were
there
already
we go.
Established.
Delegates. Representatives. representatives who had basically the pull, the clout, the authority to speak for the people, they were the ones that actually recognized the threat. They were the ones that were actually able to coalesce and start working with all the other colonies because they were independent states.
And you go back to 1774, it was those delegates then that came up with the Articles of Association, which in my opinion is the first founding document. And then we had the Second Continental Congress and so on and so forth. But yeah, they were delegates, representatives. And that's actually what sets our system apart from the rest of the world.
Let's leap to today.
Okay.
In the Republic, don't we have the same type of representatives? Yeah, we do. And as a matter of fact, at the lowest level of government, even though they may be confused at what their responsibilities are, even at the lowest level of public service and government, everybody has to raise their arm to the square and swear to defend and protect the Constitution as a fundamental responsibility of their oath of office that they are being elected to or appointed to, whether it's city council, mayor, doesn't matter. We're all responsible. As a matter of fact, if you read the Oath of the Citizen, all citizens are supposed to protect and defend the Constitution.
Right.
And that's
okay.
Implied. Power is implied.
Now, the first question from a listener is not by phone but by Facebook, facebook.com/Douglas V. Gibbs, if you want to join that conversation because you're too shy to dial the phone. But for the rest of you who are not shy at all, 888-909-1050. Not that I'm calling this listener shy. He's definitely willing to fight with the best of them. But Jeremy asks this. So why should we have an Article 5 convention when the Constitution isn't viewed with the framers' intent and followed now? Education is needed first. In other words, you know, you come up with these new amendments and they're not going to care. They're not going to follow those amendments either.
Well, so I probably didn't make myself clear. I'm not talking about an Article 5 convention. I'm talking about a convention for republic review. We talked about this last time.
Right, and that's a play on the judicial review idea, which for you listeners that are not totally up to speed, judicial review is when the courts hear a case and they review it from a legal standpoint and decide whether or not it's constitutional. Now, I've told you guys that's unconstitutional. The courts don't have that authority. Who are the final arbiters of the Constitution are not the courts, it's the states. So Mr. Mobley's saying, so why not have a republic review where the states do what the courts have been illegally doing?
So if you think about the Constitution as a contract and you understand contract law, whoever executes the contract basically empowers somebody or delegates power to somebody, the holder, the stakeholder of that contract, has the power and authority to induce an audit of the contract to ensure that you are performing per the contract. And so, in other words, I'm talking about an audit of the Constitution, the general government, to make sure that they're aligned. And if they're not, then getting the general government back in line with the Constitution and basically admonishing them if they want to take on new roles, responsibilities, or powers. I always abbreviate the RRP. If they want an RRP, then they have to amend the Constitution as the framers and all the founders. When I say founders, I mean states. They all agreed that they had to go back to the states to get the approval. Period. And so that's the power that the Republic has. Well, I'm not talking about an Article 5 convention where I need three-fourths of the states.
Well, let's go back to Jeremy. You know, let's say the states do exactly as they're saying. And the federal government said, what do I care? And they attack through the court system and usurp and all that like they usually do, and they completely ignore it. Then what?
Well, so when the states convene and you have the power and the body of the republic together and you have a nugatory, whether it be nullification or basically identifying an unconstitutional role, responsibility, or power, then the body of the republic basically defunds that particular role, responsibility, or power that is unconstitutional. And my recommendation isn't necessarily to go out and kill the funding immediately, but to give the general government a fair shot at either trying to amend the Constitution, but by a process of slowly down, because you don't want to throw 10,000 people out on the street just like that because you defunded it.
Well, it's like I tell people, it was thrust upon us incrementally. We have to remove it incrementally. You don't pull the rug out from under people.
But some of these things may be necessary to be performed by the states. So you may want to actually induce a transition plan where some of these powers go from the general government back to the states.
Which they're totally authorized to do.
And so you can give the a sunset, basically, to that unconstitutional power to say, in 1 year, you have to stand this down and you need to transition both the processes and so forth out to each and every state. Or if the state wants to, shoot, they could actually create a new polity to take that job and responsibility over as well.
I'm with Jeremy. I think that the Douglas v. Gibbs is correct. If we followed the Constitution as written, most of the problems that we're encountering would go away. But this liberal disease that has taken over our nation, their judicial review says, defines unconstitutional as anything that violates the sensibilities of a liberal. And when they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar, like the Fast and Furious, for instance, contempt of Congress means nothing to them.
So what you're saying is, even though we're right that Republic Review should return us to the Constitution, your fear is that these folks are so evil, so unwilling to act constitutionally, they will ignore it, they will find a way around it, they will destroy it, whatever they can, to keep their power, their position, and keep what they're doing on track.
They mock the Constitution that we have now. Obama made a speech in which he said that it was a negative Constitution. We need a what the government cannot do to you.
Yeah, a Constitution of negative rights is what he said.
And it should be a Constitution of positive rights, what the government is required to do for you. Nancy Pelosi just laughed when she was asked if the Obamacare was constitutional. They have no regard for the Constitution.
So why would they have any regard for any decision made by a convention of states?
That's the sad situation.
Okay. And that's the feeling of a lot of people, Mobley. That's how they feel. That's how forlorn a lot of these folks feel, considering what the federal government has been doing, what this current administration has been doing. I mean, we've got a president of the United States that has unconstitutionally modified the Obamacare law 27 times, and Congress, the Republicans, the conservatives, the Tea Party are all shouting at him about it and shrugs his shoulders and does it again.
When you put your name on something, you know, you're allowed.
Well, he's claiming that because it's a tax, he gets to modify it, but you look at the Dream Act. The Dream Act was specifically voted down by Congress. Congress had made a legislative decision, and he went ahead and did it anyway.
Well, cap and trade, too, did it through the regulatory agencies. So what we have is a lawless president, a lawless administration, a lawless party.
But we've had a string of kings for a very long time. We've had lawless parties for a very long time. And we've had lots of people, very intelligent.
Yeah, no, we're not arguing that something shouldn't be done. And I'm not necessarily arguing with him or whatever. I'm just, you know, getting this out. I don't believe that Alex or Jeremy or anybody else is arguing that something shouldn't be done. They are just voicing their concern that even if we do, this government is so lawless, it won't matter.
I don't believe that a lot of the red-blooded Americans that are serving in the capacity of some of these offices are that lawless. I believe that there are people that are corrupt by the power that they wield and so forth. But I don't believe that the million plus 100 – I cannot basically cast judgment upon that 2 million bodies of federal employees that they're all lawless. I just can't believe that.
Well, like you, I'm an optimist. And I do believe it can be turned around. I do. One of the examples I like to use, or one of the metaphors I like to use, is we're going down the Niagara River, you know, on a raft, and you know we can hear the roar of the falls in the distance. We know that collapse is soon if we don't turn this raft around. But also, I don't believe we've passed that sign that says the point of no return. Now that said, I do believe we're close enough to that sign that we can see the small print there at the bottom of the sign that says Made in China. So, you know, we're that close to it. But I don't think we've actually passed that sign yet. And let me And let me add something, because this came up in Thursday's Constitution class. So we were talking about the American Revolution, and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and all those guys were a part of this. But John Adams specifically wrote that he believed that the revolution was in the hearts and the minds of the people before the first shot was fired, because they recognized that Mother England wasn't the mother they thought. Instead, she was a tyrant, and that realization was going through the colonists. So the revolution was alive and well in their minds and their hearts, but the revolution hadn't taken place because the action hadn't taken place. And as action began to happen, as things began to happen, more and more people began to pull towards it and support it. Not necessarily because they didn't support it before, but because they didn't really believe that it could be done. They didn't believe that even the tyranny of the mightiest power in the world could be stood up to. So maybe a lot of these doubts are simply because all they've seen is the left and the federal government manhandling everyone else. And once this process begins and they start to see that a little progress is made, perhaps that'll change a lot of these minds.
Perhaps, but we're really fighting a mass education system that has so successfully inculcated people. There's so few people that realize and understand what, since the Department of Interior, every department that has been created since then in 1849, we have not had a constitutional department created. And we've not really gone through the constitutional process in giving the federal government, the general government, any new powers, roles, and responsibilities other than these 27 amendments that we've talked about. But none of them are including the Department of Transportation, the Department of Energy, and all of these things that are huge burdens on the our strategy as a nation, and huge burdens on us as far as the taxation that they're taking to running these policies.
Now, the second book goes from the concepts to the actual process.
Correct.
And like the first one, it's thick, it's complicated, and it's long, and it covers a lot of ground. Why?
Well, so the second one is actually very light reading. It's not thick. I've really tried, since you haven't seen it yet, it's not in print yet. It's less than 200 pages.
So no,
it's not,
kidding.
Yeah, it's less. It, this is, so technically, I've written.
But it
I've
still covers a lot of ground from, you know, what we're getting on the PDF here.
Correct. What I actually have written is really one book, but I got the first four sections of a seven-section book out to start the dialogue. The second section is the strategy of how we can convene a convention. Instead of educating the electorate, because I agree with all the constitutional scholars and everybody else that the electorate will take too long to educate to get this ship right. However, right. If you focus on the representatives and have them stand up to the state representatives and call them to call a convention for republic review, then you've actually created the pressures just like we did with the Revolutionary War and creating the Continental Congress. You've got the right representation, having hopefully a better understanding. And if not, the whole point of the second book is to provide the materials. And the materials I'm talking about is the actual ratification debate, so you can see exactly what the states agreed upon in this contract. And there's a lot of unanimous decisions between these states as far as the definition of limitation of powers and so forth and judiciaries. And the judiciary powers and the other powers of the government or branches. Anyway, the point is to try to get the groundswell against, or not against, but onto and focusing on the local representatives to appeal to the state legislatures, for the state legislatures then to appeal to each other states to create this convention for convention.
What is the time frame you think it'll take to get this all rolling?
I think it could be done in less than 2 years. And I think it could be done with less than 5,000
people. That's
about
what we got, is a little bit less than 2 years.
And it could be done with less than 5,000. I mean, if you had people that were using their spare time in applying pressure to your local sheriff, your local city council, your local mayor, your local school boards, your utility boards, and all these other that I basically list out. I think there's like 25 different types of offices and public servants that you can persuade to sign a petition and get that to the state legislatures so that they're all seeing, hey, there's a lot of people in office here that are asking us to convene a convention. And, you know, basically, they're creating a great argument that we've got all sorts of powers that are well beyond the delineated powers in the Constitution.
Is the book for sale yet, the second one?
No, it will be out next month.
Next month, so we're talking 1st of March?
No, it'll be probably – the physical book will be at the end of March because it takes a little while to be printed. And mid-March is when it'll be in ebook.
Okay, and the first one is We the People, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway? What's the title of the second one?
We the People, The Strategy to Convene a Convention for Republic Review, not Article 5.
All right. Now, book of the week. I want to make this the book of the week, but it's not out yet. So we're going to wait until it's actually out before we make it the book of the week. The book of the week actually is by somebody I met years and years and years ago, Mr. Marcus Luttrell. Marcus Luttrell is, we both have some mutual friends. And the book is Lone Survivor. The movie that's doing so well with Mark Wahlberg is based on this book. And I remember when this thing first came out, absolutely incredible stuff. Got a chance to talk to him a few times, mainly thanks to my good friend Andrea Shaking. And so I suggest you, especially now that they're all over the place because of the movie, get yourself a copy of Lone Survivor by Marcus Luttrell, which is now a number one national bestseller. Lone Survivor, the eyewitness account of Operation Red Wing and the lost heroes of SEAL Team 10. Well, we're going to go to break when we come back. Constitution Quest question of the week and Jasmius with the big stories of the week. Don't go anywhere.
K-C-A-A.
Ready to begin that project. FST Sand and Gravel is family-owned and managed and has been serving Southern California since 1964. We provide a variety of aggregate and sand materials direct from the manufacturer. Prices and quantities are available for the large contractor all the way down to the private homeowner. No job is too big or too small. So visit us at fstsand.com. That's fstsand.com.
You're listening to the Douglas V. Gibbs Show on KCAA 1050 AM, your weekend dose of truth.
The Murrieta Temecula Republican Assembly is the largest chapter of the California Republican Assembly. The MTRA meets the first Friday of every month at 6 p.m. at the Temecula City Hall Conference Center, 41,000 Main Street, Temecula, California. Learn more at mt-ra.com. We are the conscience of the Republican Party.
With more local radio every day, we're KCAA 1050 AM, Loma Linda.
And welcome back, Constitution Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs. Turn my mics back up now that they're done talking. So I saw this coming, man. I just turned your guys' mics down. welcome back, Constitution Radio, Douglas V. Gibbs, politicalpistachio.com, douglasvgibbs.com, if you want to check out my sites, what I write, how I write, and Jasmius's writing as well, since he's been contributing quite a bit to politicalpistachio.com. His contribution is going to probably slow down just a tad because his daytime schedule during the week has changed just a bit, but yeah, he finally got a job. You worthless. No, I'm kidding. I love you, Jasmine. Is he with us, by the way?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, bring I'm on FCC regulator radio. I can't call him that. Go ahead and bring the guy on.
Only convention he knows about is a Star Trek convention.
Well, actually went to one once.
See?
Yeah, but he was dressed as a Klingon, right?
No, actually, I'm not quite.
No, actually, a Ferengi. Get it right.
Oh. I'm not quite that bereft.
That's insulting to a Star Trek fan. Come on.
Now, I'm looking at a quote here, and I want to guess you. I want you to guess who said it.
Okay.
Okay. Here's a quote. I will never vote Democrat again. They are communists. Who said that this week?
This week?
This week.
Alex Ferguson.
No.
I say it every week.
No, it's probably somebody in the entertainment industry. I just don't know who. Go ahead and tell us.
Howard Stern.
No kidding. Well, you know, his man on the street type stuff is probably been revealing to him as well.
He just figured that out?
Well, yeah.
You know, he's late to the party, but at least he's made it.
Yeah, apparently his brain is hung like a pimple, too. But anyway.
I'm not even going
to
touch that.
He can't even reply to that.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it nice when you can just get Jasmius to just be stumped? That's great.
I mean, I'm not stumped. I'm just thinking FCC, and the FCC has been very busy of late.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, we're going to refer to that in a minute. Okay. Here's the Constitution Quest question of the week, Constitution Quest game. Learn the Constitution as you play with the family, ConstitutionQuest.com. What's your constitutional IQ? The Constitution specifies that the number of Supreme Court justices shall be A, 7, B, 9, C, determined by Congress. Joe?
I thought it was 12. I'll go with C then.
You go with C, whatever Congress says?
Sure.
Alex?
Determined by Congress.
Determined by Congress. Mr. Jasmius?
I'll go with Alex this time. I'll hide behind his wisdom.
You know what? You guys are like the Articles of Confederation, man. In order to get it right, you had to be unanimous, and you were.
Wow.
He's like, the Articles of what?
I'll point out that I went first on that one.
Yeah. You went first, and you led the charge.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Paul Revere.
You're so brilliant.
If it had been otherwise, FDR wouldn't have been able to threaten packing the court.
Yeah, he tried. He tried. Well, John Adams tried to pack the court system, but FDR said, screw the system. I'm going after the big court itself, the Supreme Court. Of course, he tried to pack the system, too, but that's beside the point. All right. And as a matter of fact, right now we have a president trying to pack and stack the system. That's the reason why they got rid of the filibuster rule in the Senate. Because, see, filibuster rule 60, needed 60, is 54 Democrats. But, boy, if you need a simple majority, that's under 54 even. You don't need the Republicans to start appointing people when you use a simple majority. And that's what they've been doing, and they've been bringing in the judges. Right. I mean, within the first 2 weeks, they appointed 14 judges. But anyway, all right. Five big stories of the week. We talked about three of them on American Daily Review earlier. Went into kind of pretty good detail. So I'm going to go through 5, 4, and 3 quickly, and then we'll spend some time on 2 and 1. 5, less jobs, more spending is the end game collapse. Well, the end game is collapse so that they can rebuild it in their own image or something of those lines. But, you know, between the minimum wage and Obama pushing for billions more borrowed money from China, the Federal Reserve, and however many times they can punch extra zeros on the computer system, basically the desire for all Americans to be dependent on the government, I think he's doing a pretty good job on trying to collapse the thing.
Yeah, that's been the plan all along.
Sure.
See, there are two schools of thought regarding Barack Obama. One is he's in over his head, he's incompetent school, and the other is what I, for lack of a better term, refer to as the conspiracy school, that he knew exactly what he's doing, he always has, and he
And he's
still
very, very happy with the results so far. Story number 4, the crime of doing business. In other words, if you're a small business, you have to certify under penalty of perjury that your hiring or firing decisions have nothing to do with Obamacare. Go ahead.
As Fox News' Chris Steierwalt put it, to avoid Obamacare costs, you must swear that you are not trying to avoid Obamacare costs.
Now, one word comes to mind, and only one word.
And, uh, and, I think, and, I don't think you can say that on the air.
Well, it does start with an F. Fascism.
Oh, well, that one. Okay, yeah. that one. Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah, you. Okay. Yeah, the other one usually follows the word mother.
The other white meat.
Mother fascist, yes.
Yeah. Story number three, to stop a tyrant. The GOP is pushing the Stop Act to try to limit the president. Have they awakened a little bit? What's going on there?
Oh, well, yeah, they're I think this is impeachment bait. Because, see, it's not going to pass
bait.
This Congress. Well, I call it impeachment bait because...
How we change with presidents. You know, with Clinton, it was jail bait. With this one, it's impeachment bait. You know, it's just...
Well, you know, it's... see, in the next Congress, if there's a Republican Senate, then Congress could pass the Stop Act, send it to Obama, and then put him in the position of either acknowledging, yeah, I am a tyrant, and veto it, or if he signed it, he would have to at least temporarily back off from his tyrannical rampage.
Yeah, exactly. What he said. No, you're exactly right, Jasmius. I think that's exactly what it is. Story number two, and you're the one that really has been breaking this because nobody else seems to be talking about this, but you've been talking about this a lot on Political Pistachio. In fact, I learned about it because of Jasmius's posts on Political Pistachio because I hadn't been able to pay attention much this week to what's been going on in the world. The Ukraine is burning.
Yes, it's almost risen to the level of a civil war. And it's interesting because the civil war is between the West, the western part of Ukraine, which is pro-Western, pro-NATO. They don't want to be part of the evil empire again. And the eastern half, which does want to be part of the evil empire again. And that's where all this conflict is coming about because, the president of the Ukraine, a gentleman by the name of Yanukovych, Viktor Yanukovych. Now, wasn't he involved in the original, what do they call it, the Orange Revolution back in 2004, 2005?
Right, yeah.
And he lost, well, and then he subsequently got into power. It's pretty clear that he is Vladimir Putin's puppet. Because that's kind of the way that Vladimir Putin is rebuilding the evil empire is by not directly, but not by direct conquest, but by putting his people into power. And then, like in this case, I'm sure that Putin would have no problem sending in, let's just say, peacekeeping troops to restore order.
Yeah, I want to talk about Vladimir Putin. The way you say it for some reason almost sounds like you're going to say Pukin. I don't know why. But anyway, Vladimir Pukin. Now, I want to add something to the... Oh, hey, we get to see you, too. Now, he finally got enough sense to put you on the screen. No one could see what you were doing. Yeah, throw your hands up. There you go. That's proof now. We can see the individual who's way up there where it rains a lot. Okay, but here's the thing. You know, we talk about Ukraine burning, and it is kind of news. It's a lot of news to us. It's no news to the mainstream media, so it's kind of news. But there is news that really isn't being talked about, and that is Venezuela. Venezuela is also having its own problems, or as the Telegraph UK says, Venezuela, the left's favorite socialist paradise, is sliding into poverty and dictatorship. What a great headline. Is that now here let me read the beginning of it just so that you guys get the gist of this. How are things coming along in Venezuela, that paradise of democratic socialism? You must remember Venezuela, that's the country that Diane Abbott said was showing a better way, which Owen Jones told us had proven that you can lead a progressive popular government that says no to neoliberalism. The apple in the eye of Marx, the last hope for humanity in a world of fat cat banksters and austerity Scrooges, the Copacabana of the International Revolution, viva! How is Venezuela doing? Well, tens of thousands of protesters are in the streets. The army's been sent to crush revolt. An opposition leader has been arrested, and supporters of the government just shot dead a former beauty queen. It's going to hell in a handcart. That's how it's doing. After Hugo Chavez died, he was replaced by Nicolas Maduro, a man with of considerably less talent who bears a striking resemblance to an obese Burt Reynolds. A Venezuelan yeah, I like that too. A Venezuelan friend explains that Chavez's titanic personality held his revolution together, reconciling its various contradictions with his charismatic nationalism. By contrast, Maduro has let the worst people take over, surrendering authority to radical mobs and corrupt officials in a bid to keep them all on his side. The result? Bad economic management, inflation at 56%, rising unemployment, food shortages, shocking levels of crime, and an increasing reliance on government control of the press. For those of you just tuned in, I'm not speaking about Detroit. This is about Venezuela.
Easy mistake.
Yeah. So as we talk about the Ukraine, well, Venezuela's going to be burning real soon, too, I think.
Go ahead.
Well, could it not be said that Venezuela then is under the control of National Socialists?
Yeah, or allies to Obama, whichever you want to put it. Yes, sir.
I'd like to take a look at the Ukraine again. It goes all the way back to Stalin. Stalin murdered those 6 or 7 million people and replaced them with Russians. The Eastern group that's supporting Putin, they are parasites that have been injected into the situation on purpose to break up that republic solidarity. You can't make up stuff like that. They did it in other republics, and now Putin is in a position. But what happened, according to some commentators I saw recently, is Putin got the word that we destroyed the Soviet Empire economically. That's why we won. And he is working on using his resources to destroy anybody that opposes him. There are the Ukraine's $15 billion in debt. And if Putin waves his hand, he can shut off their heating oil. And they'll all freeze to death. So it's a complicated situation, but it's the result of very serious evil planning.
Now I've got a very good friend. Here comes another F word. Are you guys ready? You ready with the mute button there to stop me from doing it? Okay. Here comes another F word. I've got a good friend, Arkady Fakhtodovich. That's right. That's how you say it, Fakhtodovich. Arkady was born and raised in the Ukraine. He was a graduate of the University of Kiev. He was an engineer in the Soviet Union. He came to America in 78, 79, right around there, and moved to Houston in the rough area of Houston and got a job pumping gas and thought he was rich because he was making more pumping gas in America than he did as a top secret engineer in Kiev in the Soviet Union. I'm going to try, even though I've got a guest already set up next week, I'm going to try to get him on the show next week also to give a comment about what's going on in the Ukraine. I think it would be a fascinating listen. So for those of you who are fans of the show, definitely be here for next Saturday's show, because I'm going to get Arkady on the horn with us from the Ukraine. Family in the Ukraine, loves his home, but loves America more. He's an American first. I'll get him on next week to talk about this. Finally, story number one. Little time for it, but it doesn't need a lot of time because it's no longer what it used to be anyway. It's a shell of its former self. President's Day.
Well, except it was never called President's Day. There was Lincoln's birthday, Washington's birthday.
Right.
So, I mean, the point of which was celebrating respectively, a great president and a president who most historians consider to be great.
Well said, my friend.
But, some historians.
But some.
Some historians, yes. But President's Day puts us in the position of celebrating the life and presidency of Millard Fillmore. Or Franklin Pierce, or James Buchanan.
How long, Jasmine, how long before they change the name of President's Day to Obama's Day?
Well, every day is Obama's Day.
Certainly President's Day is a method that you can denigrate old dead white guys.
Well, I was going to say, you said every day is Obama's Day, and I was going to say especially April 15th. All right, everybody. That's the show. That's the show. Constitution Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs and Jasmius. Plug yourself.
Art Starboard Radio, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Moving back to a weekly basis on Sundays at that time at blogtalkradio.com/HSO Network. But it is weekly through next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's amazing what a yob can do to you, Alex.
Yeah, conservativecanonade.org. And like I say, you'll find it's a mighty good read.
And then Mr. Mobley?
Mobius Strip Press. That's MobiusStripPress.com.
God bless America. God bless you. And never forget, united we stand. Combined, we kick butt. We'll see you next Saturday right here on KCAA AM 1050. Be safe, my friends.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Rod Tanner. For this afternoon, we'll have sunny skies and a high of 78. Humidity partly cloudy overnight with a low of 51. Wrapping up the weekend Sunday, we'll have sunshine and a high of 74. Expect patchy fog Sunday night. Otherwise, humidity partly cloudy, a low around 50. Monday morning, we'll begin the week with patchy fog well into the day. Otherwise, humidity mostly sunny with a high of 73. We'll have patchy fog Monday night. Otherwise, humidity partly cloudy, a low around 50. Tuesday morning, we'll have patchy fog with a mostly sunny day. Our high should be 72. That's your forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
This is Dick from Carpet Masters. Carpet Masters has been serving the Inland Empire for over 55 years. Carpet Masters uses extraction cleaning for your carpet because there's no better cleaning to remove the soil from your carpet. All of our furniture cleaning is done by hand in your home or in our plant. Carpet Masters also offers dry cleaning for fine furniture. Call Carpet Masters at 793-7215. That's 793-7215 for Carpet Masters.
If a politician clings to office too long, a couple of bad things can happen. The constituency can change and suddenly yank the comfy rug of incumbency out from under the politico. Or the office holder can come unmoored from the home place and drift away from the constituency. Both things have happened to Senator Pat Roberts of Kansas, who's been in Washington since 1967. First as a congressional staffer, then as a House member, and now as a three-term senator. He's an arch-conservative, but not arch enough for the far-out Tea Party right-wingers who have taken over the Kansas GOP. Even worse than the change in the home-base constituency, however, has been Roberts' own absence from home base. It turns out that the senator from Kansas doesn't actually, you know, live there.